Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September the 16th, 2008. Each week we address the latest in geospatial technology news and applications. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts, home of Marshmallow Fluff.
This week we look at the incredible rise of location-based services in the consumer market and its push into the enterprise market. Will it continue to experience exponential growth or stumble again? But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
Adina, last week I attended three conferences in San Francisco, all related to location-based services, and specifically I had the opportunity to attend CTIA, that's the Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association's Wireless and Entertainment Conference. This is an event that usually draws about 10, 20,000 people. This is an event so large it's held twice a year and focuses on the market for wireless services, and really kind of reminds me of the heady days of Comdex, which no longer exists, of course, and there's a caution there, but I'll get to that a little later. I want to give our listeners kind of my bottom line impressions first before we get into the more lengthy discussion, and that is that while this consumer market is clearly supercharged for LBS and for wireless in general, the enterprise market, you know, that is the applications related to field service workforce management and the mobile professional, you know, in sales or marketing, it's finally reached a critical mass. And in fact, there's much overlap between the two, between this consumer and the professional. And the reason for this overlap is that the mobile device manufacturers are building these handsets with functionality that makes it personal. There's no longer a real disconnect between the unit that's used in the truck or in the mobile unit that the guy is taking around and the difference in that which we would carry for our daily lives. We're becoming dependent on these devices. And the interesting statistic that I heard all week was told me by Roy Kolstad at NAFTEC. And he said that the individual probably realizes that he's lost his credit card in about 3 days. But you'll know if you lost your cell phone in about 16 minutes. The other way that it was expressed to me was I heard the keynote, Jim Balsillie, the co-CEO of RIM, and what they are positioning their devices as is your life on BlackBerry, so that there's so much more that they're packing into these devices. You know, it's no longer just about navigation. It's whether you're at work or at play, or you're navigating from point A to point B, or whether you want the recommendation for the Italian restaurant nearby, or finding your friend. It's all on the same device. You're going to become so dependent on these personal navigation devices, personal communication devices. It's going to be more than that. And maybe I'll also, just to put it into perspective, I want to give some brief statistics on what's going on here. In North America, there's been incredibly strong growth. There's been, in 2008, about 20 million units, 20 million devices sold. That's an 80% growth over last year. 60% of that 20 million units is priced at less than $200. And these devices, this is specifically, I'm talking about the PND devices, the personal navigation devices. And 90% of those devices are only sold by four manufacturers, Garmin and TomTom, having the lion's share. If you had to state a reason why this market is going to probably continue to grow and not burn itself out, is that the price points are down, the affordability is there, now within the range of most anybody, and in particular if you're into the enterprise space, even companies can afford distributing these things to their employees. There's multiple factors at work here, not the least of which is that there's multiple location determination possibilities here, GPS, Wi-Fi, cellular. Location on the device is just accepted anymore. It is just assumed. So we've got a lot of factors here at play, more devices coming out, specific tastes to address everybody's personal needs. You can't go away from events like this without becoming somewhat excited and seeing the future possibilities for LBS.
Yeah, I want to pick up on one comment you made about there being this single device at work, at play, so forth. And I'm curious about how enterprises, larger companies, are managing this challenge, because ideally, I would think they want to provide their employees with this single device. They pay for the device, they pay for the service, and the idea is that the individual uses it at work and play, and thus they are more connected and more productive to the enterprise. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I definitely see that happening. And you would almost see that there might be pushback from the mobile employee if they had to carry more than one device on them. So how they actually go about differentiating between what is work and what is play is a challenge. It's melding together. I think the important thing for enterprises to understand is they want to be connected to their employees. And so they may be willing to pick up the expense for personal or the corporate time. Regardless, many people, in particular those who are mobile professionals, they work at odd times and sometimes, you know.
Yeah, out on the beach or wherever they happen to be.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, there was a commercial I saw last night on TV where the boss is out playing golf, and he's making a call back home to what he thought was his home office and getting the inventory out of his warehouse and whether everything has been delivered. The guy responding is giving him information right up to the minute. And, of course, what happens is they run into each other on the golf course and, you know, in different golf carts. So it's kind of an interesting situation of how these devices are being used.
Well, and this is really interesting because I think we had a conversation perhaps a year ago or so, or we wrote some editorials that basically suggested that it was, in fact, the personal device sector that was really pushing this, that people were getting their iPhone or their mobile device that they were using for their personal life, and they really, really wanted to use it at work. And now it sounds like, as you point out, the enterprise has picked up, and that's where the push is coming from. We want you to have this BlackBerry or this iPhone to use for work and to use as you go about your life and use the navigation features and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely, that's true. And certainly device manufacturers and the application developers are putting the time into getting the device to the point where you can't separate the two. That's all on one device. And I think people are going to prefer that it's on one device, and you're going to see more applications developed that will blur the lines.
Right. I think that's really key, that the applications. And clearly, a boss finder and a friend finder are really the same thing, right?
Right.
You don't
right.
need a professional version unless there are some specific security features that you really need to have, because you don't want everybody to know potentially where the boss is or something like that.
Well, and that brings up another interesting point, which is a lot of announcements were made last week, one of which between RIM and MySpace, about how they're going to do location-based social networking. How do you differentiate the two? MySpace and let's take the other professional social network, LinkedIn. How do you choose between the two? I mean, both are being used for networking. So you want to have availability to both. You don't necessarily differentiate either one, although LinkedIn, you could argue, is more for professionals than MySpace, but MySpace is being used in a professional networking case as well.
So that, in a sense, not only is the personal professional blurring, but the networks are blurring as well.
What you're seeing out there, what I saw more visibly than anything else was that more topics surrounding location were being held this year at CTIA in particular. There were probably three or four sessions dedicated to LBS. That was not the case when I attended this show last year. It's getting much more attention, and I assume it's only because again the ability to have location built into the applications is much more front and center with the carriers. They finally figured out the business model, and that's making it more palatable for both consumers and enterprise people to latch onto the applications.
So you say they have figured out the business model, so they're making money off of location.
So what I'm hearing is that there are a few carriers that have figured out the better business model, Verizon being one of them, that they are truly making money off of their LBS service. A couple of others, you could argue, were not necessarily there yet. So I think that's certainly driving some more of the interest.
Okay, well, and that is a big step forward. I think even a year ago, there was still an awful lot of scratching of heads as to how we make money off of this. And just the fact that you can point to a couple of carriers that are making money should encourage the rest of them.
When you can point to Verizon, which is charging $9.95 a month, that's a bigger cost than downloading some of these other things, or downloading a ringtone, which is one shot deal for $2.50. If you can get that revenue stream, that's what I'm hearing is being pointed to as the business model for Verizon in particular, that's making money with it.
So even as you're just getting back from CTIA, came the news early this week, Monday, of a new device called Peak. And what Peak is a little handheld mobile device, and all it does is receive and send email. It doesn't have GPS. It doesn't have games. It's not an MP3 player. It costs $100 with $20 a month for service. Now, you might think that based on everything you've said, there is no place for this thing. But consider this statistic. An analyst at Frost & Sullivan says that there are 260 million cell phone subscribers in the United States. Only 15 million of them are using their cell phones for email. So 15 million out of 264 million are doing email on their cell phones. So there's still an awful big market out there just for mobile email.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I've heard similar statistics, and the penetration rate for even location-based services is extremely low.
And that was the next question I was going to ask. I mean, that $10 a month per subscriber for location-based services is great, but what percentage of the user base is that?
We're talking in the teens at best, maybe even single digits. That's why I think a lot of people are saying that there's still tremendous growth here going forward. Whether you're talking about a device just for email or you're talking about a device that has multiple applications, I think what they're probably looking at is that the penetration rate for people who just want to receive email is still low at this point, and then they see greater market potential.
Right. So I guess the way I would summarize what you're saying is, whereas last year there was still an awful lot of flailing of arms and concern about whether or not there was to be a return on investment for LBS, it sounds like now there is a foothold.
I should probably just take a minute to review what I saw at the SURF conference. SURF Technologies, a chipset manufacturer. And what they did was kind of an interesting thing. They kind of had what they would call a flash presentation of some of the application developers at their show. They kind of gave everybody a shot at a 3-minute elevator pitch, and then they let the audience at the conference vote via text message as to which one they thought was going to be the high-powered app going forward. There were about 12 applications reviewed at that event. A couple of them were dial directions, where you actually spoke the directions and got a text message back as to what the directions would be. There was another one called Prox Pro, which their claim to fame was never be late. It compares your current location to the time and location of your next appointment and displays the fastest route to avoid traffic delays. So it actually pings you when you should leave. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that Oracle Open World will take place in San Francisco on September the 21st to the 25th. Please visit the ESRI booth, number 1724, to see how we are helping enterprises understand and harness the power of information. For more information on Oracle Open World or any other event where ESRI is exhibiting, please visit www.esri.com/events. If you'd like to comment on anything that you've heard today and like to write to us, please do so at editors@directionsmag.com. I'd also like to remind everyone that our first job and education fair will be held on September the 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a free webinar. You can see more at our Career Center. That's directionsmag.com/CareerCenter/job fairs. Again, thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.